Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with meditations in the Word of God. We are studying together the book of Matthew, and we are in chapter 14, where we've been dealing with the ministry of our Savior after he has been spurned and rejected by his own people. And while I speak to this point, I would like to suggest to you every once in a while to reread those chapters, those early chapters of Matthew, and follow through the argument again of how the Lord dealt with these dear people and of how they rejected him and how he appeals to the individual and then how he speaks to the people in parables and yet reveals to his disciples the interpretation of those parables. And then of how he is rejected, first of all, by his own people at the end of chapter 13. When I say his own people, I speak of the people in Nazareth and Capernaum and Bethsaida, these towns where he did his mighty miracles, his mighty works. And then he was rejected in John the Baptist. And here in the beginning of chapter 14, we have how John was beheaded by Herod the Tetrarch. And we find a man who was full of lust, full of sin, full of murder, in contrast to the Son of God, the Holy One, who has been rejected. Instead of the Lord Jesus being on the throne, ruling Israel, we find a usurper on the throne, I say full of sin, lust, and murder. And then you have where his purpose is rejected. Not only was his person rejected, but his purpose is rejected. Chapter 14, verse 13, down chapter 15, verse 28. And we're dealing with that now. We were discussing in our last lesson his power over the material, of how he had fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And let me reiterate one or two things that I said in our last lesson. You remember, after John was beheaded, he went out into the wilderness, into a desert place, and the crowds followed him, and he had compassion upon them, and he healed all who had need of healing. And the disciples were very anxious now to get rid of the crowd. It was getting toward evening, and they've gone all day without food, and they said to the Lord, send them away. Just think of people, disciples, sending people away from Jesus. Well, that's easily done. People do that. Oftentimes we Christians today, we send people away from the Savior. Instead of attracting them to the Lord, we send them away. And Jesus said to the disciples, they don't need to go. You feed them. You feed them. And he put the responsibility upon his disciples to feed them. Why, they said, we can't feed this crowd. We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and how in the world are you going to feed this crowd with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes? And you remember the Lord took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and break it and gave to the disciples, and from the disciples to the multitude, and they were all filled, and 12 basketfuls were left. Now let me again repeat one or two things and say one or two more things about this amazing miracle of our Savior, the only one who was mentioned by all 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. First of all, may I remind you that when the disciples had their eyes upon the crowds and upon what they had, they couldn't do anything. They hid behind their lack of power to feed the crowds. We can't do anything with this. 5 loaves and 2 fishes for 5,000 men besides women and children? Why, it's folly. But when they had their eyes removed from what they had, from their circumstances, to whom they had, when they got their eyes off themselves and put their eyes on the Savior. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and blessed them and gave them back the same 5 loaves and the same 2 fishes, now broken up. And as they passed them out to the crowd, it multiplied. As long as they gave it out, it multiplied. When they stopped giving it out, it stopped multiplying. When they got through, they had 12 basketfuls left. Just may I say one or two more things about this. First of all, if I may go back to Luke's Gospel and to John's Gospel, Luke 9 and John 6. You remember the Lord made them all sit down in companies, 52 a company. That meant 100 companies of people, 52 a company. That is 50 men to a company. Now, I don't know how many women and children were there, but it spoke about them being 5,000 men. But supposing we break it down to the 5,000 men. That'd be 100 companies of men, 50 men to a company. How many waiters would you need to feed 50 hungry men who've been all day without food? You see, our Lord didn't manifest himself as a specialist in doing this sort of a thing. Did you notice something else? He didn't ask for volunteers. I suppose today in America we would have said, well, now, wait a minute now. 50 hungry men, we'll need 2 waiters for 50 men. That means we need 200 waiters for the 5,000 men. We need 200 waiters to feed 5,000 hungry men. Jesus never called for volunteers. He commanded the disciples to feed them. I've oftentimes thought about that. Jesus does not call for volunteers. He drafts disciples. Did you hear me? He drafts disciples. Just like we had in the parables, he made known to his disciples what the parables meant. It's when you and I become a real disciple of the Savior, for the heart in love with him, for the mind open for all that he has to say to us through his precious word, by his Spirit. My friend, then he begins to feed us and we begin to grow, and then he begins to use us. You say he doesn't call for volunteers? No. Isn't there some place in the Bible where Jesus said, or where God said, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? That's right. That's Isaiah chapter 6. Will you please tell me how many were in the audience when God said, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? Only one man, that was Isaiah. No, God drafts his disciples. If you go through your Gospels, even in the Great Commission, to whom does he give it? Disciples. Disciples. To whom does he say, you shall receive power of the Spirit coming upon you, you shall be my witnesses? To who? Disciples. Only disciples have ears to hear. Only disciples have the heart to go, the willingness to go in obedience to what he said. Feed the crowds. Oh, the hungry people there are today, even among God's people. So many evangelicals are starved for the word of God. And God is saying to disciples, why don't you feed them? Why don't you feed them? But we look at ourselves. We look at what we have. We look at our own resources and we fail God. He says, get your eyes off your resource and get your eyes on me. He's able to supply anything and everything. As I said in our last lesson, God will never ask you to do anything for him without first of all supplying that which is needed to do what he wants you to do. You feed them. And so the 12 men went round and they fed the 5,000 people. And I repeat it, as long as they gave it out, it multiplied. When they stopped giving it out, it stopped multiplying. Tell me, if you want to know more and more of the Word of God, the more you give away, the more you have. You see, multiplication is not by putting everything into yourself, not in spiritual things. The more you give away, the more you get. The more of the Word of God I communicate to somebody else, the more the Lord gives to me. You see, my friend, I'm trying to make it easy for you. If you love the Savior, he's drafting you to feed the crowds. But how can I feed them? Then you've got to get into the Word of God and get your supply. And the more you give out, the more you get. And the less you give out, the less you get. In other words, if one stops reading and meditating and studying the Word of God, what you have begins to dry up. He that watereth shall be watered. If I stop watering, then I'm not watered. I'm talking about a principle that runs right through the Bible. My friend, if you want to know the Word of God, then give out what you have. Do you know, I think this is true of Sunday school teachers. Sunday school teachers, if they really prepare their lesson, get down into the Word of God to teach those precious young people or children or men and women, the one who really, really comes out the best is the teacher. Because the more he studies and the more he gives away, the more he gets. You know, some years ago I taught 2 of my own classmates on a certain subject, and I learned more in teaching those 2 fellows the course than I did when I was in the course itself, even though I passed the exams. You see, here's a principle. The more I give away of the Word of God, the more I get. And my friend, if you want to grow in the grace of God, I would suggest every opportunity you have of giving out the Word of God, you give it out. If you're asked to take a Sunday school class, take it. You say, well, I haven't got the gift of teaching. How do you know? Have you tried it? Don't hide behind your unbelief, or don't hide behind your mental laziness. Now, it may be you might have some good, logical, reasonable excuse not to take a class. But the great majority of you, if you want to really grow, offer yourself to be a channel through whom the Spirit of God will communicate the truth through you to somebody else. And I repeat it, the more you give away, the more you get. I want to encourage you, Sunday school teachers. Jesus saying, you feed them. You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, I've only got two or three in my class. Well, wonderful thing. You've got two or three eternal souls. Little children, all right, little children, whoever they may be, whatever their age may be. It's not the size of the class or the age of the class. God's given you an opportunity to communicate the wonderful things of Christ to somebody else. And I repeat it, the more you give away, the more you get into your Bible, the more you study it, the more you fall in love with the Savior, the easier it is for you to give out the Word of God. And as you give it out, it'll grow. It'll simply grow on you. I know what I'm talking about. Having been a pastor for many, many, many years, sometimes I've come into my pulpit with a message to give to the people, and I've got starting on something, and the truth gets a hold of my heart, my mind, my whole being, and my well-prepared message goes outside the door. I haven't lost it. But the Spirit of God used some other truth and unveiled it out as I was speaking. The mind was poured full by the Spirit of God of truth that I hadn't intended to give. You see, the more you give, the more you study, the more diligent you are in the Word of God, the more usable you will be in the hands of the Holy Spirit of God. See, what I'm pleading for is that God is saying to disciples, you feed them, you feed them. And there were 12 basketfuls left. And everybody was filled. Everybody was satisfied. Oh, you know, I just hunger for this. I hunger for to speak to a congregation where every man and woman and young person and boy and girl really are satisfied, something for their own hearts. And some of the greatest joys I've had is not from some dear old folks, 75, 80, 85 years of age, old saints who have come and said, I've enjoyed this, or they want to argue with me, or they disagree with me, whatever it may be. But I have some little fellow, 9, 10, 11 years of age, like I was in a meeting here in West Kansas, and after the morning meeting, five or six of the dear old saints came to discuss things with me, and I think they would like to have argued a little bit. And after I got through, I went back to the study to pick up my hat to leave the church after the morning service. A little fellow was standing there with rosy cheeks, a little short, heavy-set fellow, and he looked up and he said, Mr. Mitchell, I really enjoyed that. Well, I said, now, what did you enjoy? And to my utter amazement, that youngster gave me the highlights of the whole message. He got a hold of some of the truth, an open heart. Do you know, that thrilled me far more than the seven or eight dear old saints who were after me after the meeting. If I can make it so simple, so clear that a boy 10, 11 years of age can lay hold of the truth and revel in it, my, that's worth more than $1 million to me, because it encourages my heart to give out the Word of God. And I hope, very, very sincerely, I hope that as I talk to you day after day, that the truth becomes clear, that we're able to communicate to you some of these wonderful truths. Now remember, as you read this story, the feeding of the 5,000, if you're going to study it, I suggest you read all four records of it, because Luke has something that Matthew doesn't have, and John has something that the others don't have. It's John who gives us the boy, and Philip, and so on. In fact, I'm of the persuasion that the little fellow who gave all that he had, And I'm telling you, it must have been quite a test for this little fellow. If I might bring another truth out to your heart, this little fellow had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, his own lunch, willing to give it up. He gave what he had, all that he had, to Jesus. And the Lord fed the whole crowd with what the boy gave him. And you say, well, how much did the boy have? Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic on this, but knowing something about boys and being a boy myself, I have the idea. Now, you may not agree with me on this, but I believe that when the little fella got through after the feast, I think he had a half basket full. Well, now, where did he get that idea from? Well, I think he tagged along with Andrew. He gave his lunch to Andrew to the Savior. And he tagged right along with Andrew. If I know boys, I'll guarantee you his eyes were bulging out as he saw his bread and his fish multiplying as Andrew gave it out. And I'm sure he shared the basket full with Andrew at the end. Now, as I say, I'm not dogmatic on that, except to make one statement. The little boy gave up what he had, and when he was through, he was perfectly satisfied. Say, have you given to the Lord what you have? Why doesn't your gift multiply? Why don't you have more gifts for the Lord? Because you don't give him what you have. What have you given to the Lord? You see, well, Mr. Mitchell, I'm in love with the Savior. He's the object of my devotion. Then, my friend, if he really is that, then he has everything you have. All you are, you're on God's team. And you're going to be associated with the Savior in the feeding of the thousands who are hungry for reality. And believe me, my present generation, even of my generation of young people, you may call them hippies or anything you want to, but they're hungry for something. And apparently there's something in our generation that's not reaching their hearts, not reaching their lives. Maybe you've got the answer. Now I know one thing, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can satisfy their hearts. But how are they going to know about the Savior, the real Savior? If we, his people, do not communicate to them the precious things of Christ. So this boy gave up what he had. It multiplied. And when he got through, he was absolutely filled and satisfied. For the Word of God says they were all filled. That includes the boy, too. And sometimes you wonder if boys have any bottom to their tummies, what they can stow away. However it was, he was filled like the rest of them, and perfectly satisfied. Oh, friend, listen. The Lord is saying to you, give ye them to eat. Why don't you feed the crowd? Oh, I just plead with your heart today. Whatever you have, small, I don't care how tiny it is, but will you give it to him? Or if you have much, will you give it to him? Let him multiply it, that he might be glorified and hearts of others might be satisfied. Oh, how glad I am for an all-sufficient Savior. And we pray the Lord will make it real to your heart today for his name's sake.